Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
What do you do when things don't go your way? Scream, I heard. Oh. How do you respond when life doesn't happen as you expect it? Do you run and crawl in a hole? Scream? Kick? What is your reaction to events that go against what you wanted? Well, I've got a photo. I hope it doesn't cover the whole screen. Oh, that's good. This is a picture of me. The back of the photo said it was taken in May of 1988, so that probably puts me at about 9.5 years old. I'm sulking. Obviously, something didn't go my way. Something didn't happen the way I wanted it to. I actually don't remember why. I actually do remember this photo being taken, though. And so I don't remember why I was sulking. Probably I didn't get something that I really wanted. And I just decided I was going to plonk myself in the corner of my room. Lovely wallpaper. You can't really see it too well on the screen there. Sitting, sulking in the corner, reading a book. I think if it was in today's world, I'd probably have a tablet or a phone or some electronic device. I probably would have taken off me. Depends if I'd got in trouble. I don't remember being in trouble. I just remember sulking about something, and I'm pretty sure it was something that I actually wanted to happen, but I didn't get my own way. But it obviously wasn't that important because I actually don't remember why. But I do remember, and this photo, I've had this photo for quite some time now because I've got all my baby photos and everything now that I'm, you know, married and got children of my own. My mum gave me all my photos quite some time ago. And this photo sprang to mind when I was studying this week's Jonah part in chapter 4, because Jonah is having a major sulk in this part of the story. And I knew this picture was in my photo album, and I thought, yes, I remember sulking. I remember being cranky. I remember being in a major sulk. So Jonah, chapter 4, we're going to read today. He is furious. He is so angry because things have not gone his way, or the way he wanted it to. And if you've been following over the last few weeks with our Jonah series, you would know that Jonah was asked by God to deliver a message to the people of Nineveh about the way that they were acting, and they had wicked ways, and they were worshipping false gods. And he said to Jonah, I want you to go to these people and tell them that they're doing the wrong thing. But Jonah, instead of obeying God, runs away in the complete opposite direction, and he runs to Joppa to get on a boat to go to Tarshish, which is 5 times the distance away from Nineveh. And so we saw that he got onto this boat, and God was getting his attention, and he said he brought a storm. God brought this storm, and so Jonah was in the middle of this storm with the sailors on the boat. The sailors were all worried. Jonah was fast asleep because he was down in the bottom of the boat. You remember? Down, Jonah is down. Sorry, that was me from 2 weeks ago. And so we see this Jonah kind of a bit, you know, blasé about the whole thing. The sailors are all worried, and he says, oh, it's my fault. Just throw me overboard. The sailors didn't want to throw him overboard. But they did. They threw him down into the ocean. And then a whale came, or a fish, or a big sea creature, came and swallowed Jonah up. And Jonah was down in the belly of the whale. And we see that he's this stinking prophet. He probably was all slimy from all the stuff inside the whale's belly. And he's in there for 3 days and 3 nights. Remember our song? He was in a whale for 3 whole days. 1, 2, 3. So he was in there, and God hadn't left him. And he prays to God, and he realizes, you know, I haven't done I haven't done the right thing. So God gets him to vomit the whale back up so that Jonah ends up on dry land again. And then the word of God comes to Jonah a second time, because he is a God of second chances, and Mark talked about that last week. He'll give us third and fourth and fifth, but he gave Jonah a second chance to tell the people of Nineveh about their wicked ways. And so Mark told us last week that Jonah did go to the people of Nineveh, and he did tell him his one-sentence sermon that said, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. And the miraculous happened. The king of Nineveh realized he'd done wrong. And he was sorry. He put on sackcloth and ashes. Or that's, I'm sorry, clothes, for those that are not sure what sackcloth and ashes mean. He put on his I'm sorry clothes and decided he would not eat and he would not drink. And he told all the people of Nineveh, all the animals, to do the same, to fast and to put on their I'm sorry clothes. Because they realized that they had done wrong. And they cried out to God in hope that God would spare their lives. And so we pick up today's story. And I want to pick up the last verse that Mark did last week in chapter 3, at verse 10. So we're going to pick up from there and we're going to move into chapter 4. But I want to read again from the Message version, because the Message version gives a slightly different wording to the NIV. But if you've got the NIV or got a different translation, just listen for the differences. But the Message I find a lot easier to understand what is happening in the story. So verse 10 in chapter 3 in Jonah. God saw what they had done, that they had turned away from their evil lives. He did change his mind about them. What he said he would do to them, he didn't do. God changed his mind. God decided that he saw that they had stopped their wicked ways. And so God decided he would not bring destruction on Nineveh. Now my chapter 4 has a little subheading that says, I knew this was going to happen. I don't know what's on yours, but I thought this is pretty clear how Jonah is thinking. I knew this was going to happen. So chapter 4 starts, Jonah was furious. He lost his temper. He yelled at God, God, I knew it when I was back home. I knew this was going to happen. That's why I ran off to Tarshish. I knew you were sheer grace and mercy, not easily angered, rich in love, and ready at the drop of a hat to turn your plans of punishment into a program of forgiveness. Jonah was angry. In that very first verse. And then in the next verse, we see that God is described as not easily angered. The almost complete opposite. Other versions, your NIV might say slow to anger. Jonah was angry straight away when God didn't bring punishment to these people. But God is described as slow to anger. Jonah's anger and resentfulness is contrasted with God's love, his slow to anger, and his mercy. If we translate the first part into Hebrew, it would say it was evil to Jonah as a great wrong. Jonah considered it a great evil what God had done, or what he hadn't done, by not destroying the Ninevites. This was really strong language. Jonah thought it was evil what had not happened to these people. He really wanted these people to be destroyed. This was Israel's most hated enemy, and they're not being punished. That's why Jonah was angry. Who is your worst hated enemy? Who are the people who would be considered the greatest enemy of Christians today? How would you respond if they were doing the wrong thing and they did not receive punishment? How would you feel about them being forgiven? Jonah is just like us. We need to see where it fits for us in our story, in our lives. When do we kind of hold on to that unforgiveness? This is actually the first part of the story of Jonah where we actually find out why he's run away from God. Mark alluded to it when he first started the series, but he actually did that by reading this very part of the story. If you'd have read from the beginning and Mark hadn't told you this information, we would not know until now why Jonah had run away. Well, this is an excuse that Jonah brought up to explain why he was disobedient and why he didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. But Jonah knew his God was merciful and that he would forgive them. Was he really judgmental about the Ninevites the whole time? Verse 3 of our chapter 4 says, "So God, if you won't kill them, kill me. I'm better off dead." God said, "What do you have to be angry about?" Has anyone said that to you? What have you got to be so angry about? Why are you so angry all the time? Is your anger noticeable enough that others speak to you about it? We all need our anger challenged sometimes, especially if it comes from a place of resentment or unforgiveness. This is Jonah's reaction to being asked that question in verse 5. But Jonah just left. He went out of the city to the east and sat down in a sulk. He put together a makeshift shelter of leafy branches and sat there in the shade to see what would happen to the city. So God asks him why he's so angry, and Jonah just leaves. Bit like someone having a temper tantrum. They just wander off.
"I'm not talking to you.
Are you so angry? Oh, I'm just going to leave." So he leaves. He sulks. He makes a shelter and waits to see what will happen with Nineveh. I think he's still watching and waiting in the hope that Nineveh will be destroyed, that God will change his mind and go, "These people are wicked. I'm going to get rid of them." I think he's hoping that by his protest of wandering off and being angry and sitting down in the dirt, that God will change his mind and go, "Oh yeah, Jonah's right. I should really get rid of these people." And I think he sits in the most uncomfortable of places. He sits in the dirt outside of the city, makes a really poor shelter that's no protection. Bit like me, sitting in the corner of my room on the hard floor. Why is it when we're sulking, we choose the most uncomfortable position? It's like we're punishing ourselves and we have something else to complain about. I think Jonah likes complaining. He sat himself in the dirt so that he could keep complaining about his circumstance. But God is graceful. And in verse 6 it says, "God arranged for a broad-leafed tree to spring up. It grew over Jonah to cool him off and keep him out of his angry sulk. Jonah was pleased and enjoyed the shade. Life was looking up." God yet again showers compassion upon Jonah. Jonah had the most stinkiest attitude. That's why he's the stinking prophet. Yeah, he was stinky in the whale, but his attitude is even more stinky. He's sulking because God showed love and grace to people. He'd forgotten that God had shown him love and grace for being disobedient. He was sulky. He was stinky. God could have easily ignored Jonah in his wandering off, in his sulk. But no, God provided shade, protection, comfort for Jonah to remind him that, hey, I love you. And I care for you. He showed compassion and mercy by allowing this plant to grow quickly. It sprung up, it says. And Jonah is in a state of comfort. You know, it says that he was pleased and enjoyed the shade. And things are starting to go his way. Life was looking up. I wonder what he thought. Has God changed his mind? That's why he's, you know, bringing me. He's decided, yeah, Jonah's right. I'll give him some shade because Jonah's in the right. God's changed his mind. But the story soon changes in verse 7. But then God sent a worm. Did you know there was another animal in this story? We often know about Jonah and the whale. We don't often talk about Jonah and the worm. But God sent a worm. By dawn of the next day, the worm had bored into the shade tree and it withered away. The sun came up and God sent a hot, blistering wind from the east. The sun beat down on Jonah's head and he started to faint. He prayed to die. I'm better off dead. The whole book of Jonah shows God as God of all creation. He's over all creation and in charge of creation. God caused the storm. He instructed the fish to swallow Jonah and also to vomit him back up. Now God is arranging a tree to shade Jonah and then a worm to wither it away. Plus there's a hot wind and the sun to beat down on Jonah. God is in control of all creation. From the storm to the fish, to the tree, to the worm, to the wind and the sun. God created all those things, but God is in charge of all those things. God both gave and took away the plant. And we sang in our song earlier, he gives and takes away. God gives to us and he takes away. Sometimes that's for our own benefit. Sometimes that's for us to learn a lesson. And that's what he's doing for Jonah. The plant had become a source of comfort for Jonah. And Jonah put his joy in the plant instead of the one who created the plant. Are we putting our joy in our comforts of our life instead of in God? Our comforts might not be a plant, and maybe you're not sitting in the dirt at home and a plant grows over the top or sitting in the shade of a tree. Our comforts might be our homes, money, other possessions, our work, our status, our family, or even friends. Are we placing our joy in these comforts instead of in God? Verse 9 says, then God said to Jonah, what right do you have to get angry about this shade tree? Jonah said, plenty of right. It's made me angry enough to die. God said, what's this? How is it that you can change your feelings from pleasure to anger overnight about a mere shade tree that you did nothing to get? You neither planted nor watered it. It grew up one night and died the next. So why can't I likewise change what I feel about Nineveh from anger to pleasure? This big city of more than 120,000 childlike people who don't yet know right from wrong, to say nothing of all the innocent animals. Jonah was more concerned with the withering plant than with anyone or anything else. Jonah was more concerned with his comfort, his preference, and his prejudice than the salvation of the thousands of people that were in Nineveh. And God used the plant to show this stinking attitude to Jonah. The Asbury Bible commentary says, Jonah was angry because his prejudice towards the Ninevites as a people was deep-seated. He did not want them to repent and change their evil ways. He wanted them dead, period. And that was not right. And the Lord wanted Jonah to see his sin. I think it sums it up well. Jonah seemed to care about one little plant while God cares about all the people and all of his creation. Because he didn't just say the 120,000 people. He's including all the livestock and all the animals in Nineveh too. God does not want any to perish. The scripture in the New Testament, 2 Peter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." That's what God does. He waits and waits. He doesn't want anyone to be destroyed. He doesn't want anyone to perish or die. He wants them all to come to realize that what they have done is not right and come to him. That's repentance, changing the way from away from God to back towards him. Jonah would not have known about this scripture because this is New Testament and Jonah's in the Old Testament. But he would have known about this one from Exodus. Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. And it's talking about God passing in front of Moses. And God says, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. I think Jonah only read that last part. I think he forgot that whole first part where it says about that he's compassionate, gracious, loving, slow to anger and faithful and maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. Yes, God is a God of justice. But first, he's a God of love. And when we come to him with repentance, that's what he shows us. The punishment is for those that don't repent. Jonah is thinking, well, these guys are wicked. They should be punished anyway. God is of compassion, love, forgiveness first. Jonah fails to see that he's just as guilty as the Ninevites. Jonah had sinned. He disobeyed God. He ran in the complete opposite direction. Yes, Nineveh had sinned, but they actually didn't know God yet. And the moment that Jonah speaks to these Ninevites about what they've done wrong, they immediately change their ways. They didn't wait 3 days in the belly of a fish. Jonah took a long time to realize that he needed God. The king of Nineveh straight away tore off his beautiful gowns and robes and his royal clothing and put on his I'm sorry clothes. He realized he'd done wrong. He realized that he needed to cry out to God. I think Jonah thought that his sin was not as bad as the Ninevites. But God does not look at degree of sin. He looks at the sincerity of our repentance when we are sorry. God doesn't have these scales thinking, oh, well, this person has done more sin, so, you know, they're going to be punished more, and these are the other ones. You know, I've not done as much, so I'm not going to be punished as much. They're a bit worse than me. God doesn't have a scale of sin. He looks at the sincerity of our hearts when we say, I'm sorry for what I've done. Jonah's anger, I could almost see it boiling within him when he's sitting, sulking in the dirt. But his anger had pushed out any love out of his soul. This anger consumed him to the point that he would rather not live. And anger is something that often underpins depression, which can stem from unforgiveness and resentment. And that's why it's so important to deal with what is underlying our anger. What is fueling the anger? Is it fear? Is it sadness? Is it resentment? Is it unforgiveness? Or is it a myriad of other emotions? Anger in itself is not bad, but it's a warning sign that something is not right. Something not right within ourselves, or something not right in our world or in our environment. Has anger pushed love out of our souls? Are we harbouring anger towards others that prevent us from loving them? Do we have prejudice towards others that we think are beyond the love and grace of God? Are we more concerned with our comfort or our preference than with the salvation of thousands in our community? God is wanting to show Jonah and us, we're the readers today, that we need to examine our hearts towards others. God wants us to remove the prejudices and the unforgiveness, as he does not harbour those things against us. God wants us to show compassion towards those that don't know him. And we often judge people about things that they don't even know yet. And even if they are involved in wicked ways, God wants us to show his love and mercy to them. God wants us to speak to them about who he is and how much his grace and love is for them too. God's mercy is not just for those that have grown up knowing about faith in God. God's mercy is available to all who seek his forgiveness. God is wanting his believers to care about salvation for those that are not part of God's family yet. And we are his believers. And another word for that is saints. We often think, oh, I can't be a saint. That's a really holy person. That's somebody who's so good. But if we believe in God, we become his saints. And his saints are given the task to bring the love of God to those who need it. Are we praying for those who are lost in our families, in our workplaces, in our communities, in our world? Or are we sitting sulking because God is not working in the way we want him to? Or are we more concerned with our comforts than the lives of those that don't know about God? We're going to sing a song that's a reflection song. And it's called Tears of the Saints. And I'm going to get the singers to come up. And it speaks about how we as the believers, we're the saints, are to be sad about that there are so many people out there that don't know about God's love. And it talks about wanting them to come back home to the Father, wanting them to know who God is. And it talks about the prodigal son. And interesting in the prodigal son's story, there's the father who embraces, and Mark talked about him last week, that he is loving, he is graceful and is forgiving when we have done wrong. But there was another character in the story, the older brother. And the older brother is a bit like Jonah. He has a bit of a tantrum and he decides, the older brother, that he doesn't want to be part of the party for the prodigal son. He wants to sit on the outside. He's resentful. He's unforgiving towards his younger brother. So I pray today that your response would be like the loving father, wanting people who don't know Jesus yet to come into that loving relationship, to reach out to them in our community, and not to be the older brother or like Jonah where we harbour resentment. So as we sing this song, may you reflect on who you are. Where's your heart at? Have you got unforgiveness? Have you got something that's holding you back from caring about those that need to know about Jesus?